This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls.
Hello, friends, and welcome back. For those of you who listen regularly, I want to apologize for taking so long to create this next episode. I recently returned from a ministry trip throughout Europe, and it was just very hard for me to find time and the place where I could record. For those of you who don't listen very regularly, you won't be aware that this episode is coming in 3 weeks after the last one, or maybe more even. So ignore my apology. Thank you for listening. Today, I'm going to talk about something that I did not intend to talk about. I had prepared and was getting ready to record an episode on the times that Jesus said to people, "What do you think?" And maybe that'll be the next episode. But as I was preparing that and looking over my notes and getting ready to sit down and record, I felt like the Lord impressed me that that's not for today. There's something else that I want to share that has come on my heart. I don't know how long I'll take today. May just be pretty short, but I want this to be an encouragement to you. As I said, I've recently returned from a ministry trip through Europe. As I was thinking about this trip and the things that we did, it reminded me of something that a listener recently wrote about how encouraged she has been by what the Lord has taught me over the years. And I've mentioned it in previous episodes a few times, I think. And I want to return to that today, just as an encouragement to you. And this could be a part of the series that I've had called Foundations. It's a guiding principle that the Lord laid on my heart over 20 years ago as I made the transition from life in my home culture to life in a different culture and a completely different kind of life compared to what I was living before. The thing that I've said, the thing that we've learned, Olga and I, is that we want to receive the life God gives us and not choose our life for ourselves. That was something that God began to teach me early on when I realized that I could choose my own path, but what God had for me was so much better than what I could have imagined for myself. There is the scripture that I've referenced many times. God can do more than you can ask or even imagine. And as I've said, for those of you who are in a transition in life and you're thinking about what might come next, what could you do? Could you move to this city? Could you take this job with this company? When you make a list of what your options are, leave one of the lines in the list blank for the thing that you cannot even imagine. Because God can do more than you can ask or even imagine. That doesn't mean that he's going to do that, but he can do that. And we need to make room in our hearts and in our lives, in our prayers and our thinking and our planning, for God to do something that we cannot even imagine. Now, I could give you a list of things right now, of circumstances that I think would be amazing, that maybe God would put me in, but those are things I can imagine. Well, he may have something for me that I cannot imagine. And just because I'm living the kind of life I live now, that doesn't mean that I'll live that kind of life 6 months from now, a month from now, 2 weeks from now. Constantly surrendering our lives is very important as disciples. Give him permission to change direction, to speak clearly. And sometimes he calls us into a rut. He calls us into a circumstance where we put our heads down and we commit ourselves to that for a long time. If that's your place in life, very good. Keep listening for what the Lord says. And even as you're working in the thing that he's given you, be aware that something can come up that you can't really imagine, that he wants you to engage in, even as you're still focused on that long-term goal or purpose. We need to surrender everything to the Lord. Everything. Again, Olga and I say that we want to receive the life that God gives us and not choose our life for ourselves. The Lord said that He came to give abundant life. That means He gives the life and we receive the life. He came so that we could have a life that is so much richer and thicker and hearty than the life that we would have if we just chose it for ourselves. It's a real, deep life. It's important to remember that to God, life and death, those words mean different things to Him. Remember when the Lord said to Adam and Eve, if you take of this fruit, you're going to die. And the devil said, well, if you eat that, you're not going to die. You're going to be like God. And they took of the fruit, and did they die? Well, according to God, yes, they died. They were cut off from fellowship with Him. And even though their bodies were functioning, they were breathing and living and moving on the earth, they were dead. And Jesus says exactly the same thing when somebody comes up to Him and says, let me go bury my father before I follow you. And the Lord says to that person, let the dead bury the dead. So it's very possible for someone to be breathing and moving and making decisions and living life, but they're dead in the eyes of God. And this is what Jesus came, this is the purpose of Jesus, to overcome death. Not just a physical death, that death that we walk in so that we could have a newness of life. We could receive life. As I've said now two or three times, to receive the life that God gives us and not just choose our own path for ourselves. When I was younger, I always thought it would be very cool to go above the Arctic Circle. I thought that'd be great. And I thought, man, what a thing to be at the equator. To actually be at the equator. I never thought that I'd ever be at the equator or go above the Arctic Circle. Many, many years ago, I remember reading about Russia and Nevsky Prospect, this main road in St. Petersburg. I was reading history or something like that, and I thought, wow, I'll never see Nevsky Prospect. What an amazing thing to do. And now, because of the life that God gives me, I am regularly on Nevsky Prospect. And I can say that 100% of the time that I am on Nevsky Prospect, I thank God for it, because I could not conceive of a circumstance where I would ever be on Nevsky Prospect. Now, for those of you who don't know, that's the main road in St. Petersburg that runs right up to the Winter Palace, right on the Neva River. It's the main artery of St. Petersburg. And every time I cross it or drive on it or walk on it, I thank God because of what He has done. Well, a few years ago, I was invited to attend a men's conference in Norway. Well, to get to Norway, you've got to go above the Arctic Circle. And a couple of times, I went up that far north and came back down, so I've crossed the Arctic Circle several times. And a few years ago, I was invited, actually because of the connection in Norway, I was invited to get involved in ministry down in Africa, in Uganda, and the Democratic Republic of Congo. And sure enough, we drove across the equator and got some pictures. In one picture, I've got 1 foot in the northern hemisphere and 1 foot in the southern hemisphere. And there I was at the equator. Those are just a couple of examples of things that I desired, but I didn't choose to do them. I waited. God miraculously gave me these desires of my heart, I guess you could say. And they were a normal part of my walk with Him. I received them from Him instead of choosing them for myself. Other things have happened that I couldn't even have imagined. Some friends of ours have a little cabin by a Finnish lake. It's got electricity, but no running water, heated with a big Finnish wood stove. And we've spent many days in this little cabin in Finland and made good friends there. It's been a beautiful thing, and I never would have thought it, but we receive it. It's something that God brought to us. He's led us to the coast of the Adriatic and the mountains of Montenegro. I've made a loop around the Baltic Sea, driving and taking ferries, and these things are such a blessing. And they're an example of us just receiving what God had for us. There are other things that I'd love to do. For instance, I recently had a conversation with a friend about going to the Holy Land. And I've never been to the Holy Land, and I'd love to go to the Holy Land. But I'm not going to choose it. I'm going to wait until it's a natural part of my walk with the Lord. If He wants me there, I'll be there. But I refuse to choose it. We need to receive the life that God has for us. It would be terrible, terrible if I were in Israel and God did not want me in Israel. I think I've told the story before. My first summer working in summer camps north of St. Petersburg, I was carrying a load of books out of the back of this ministry van that we had. We were up at a summer camp. And as I picked up this load of books and was walking around the back of the van to go into the building, I had a revelation that I was exactly where God wanted me. At that moment, I was exactly where the Lord wanted me. And it was like a snapshot in my mind, and I can still picture that moment just perfectly as I was picking up these books out of the back of that old Ford Transit van. A few months later, I was with my parents, and I was unsure exactly what the future held, and they were going to take a road trip out west in the United States, up into the Rocky Mountains. And they invited me to go along with them, and I thought, well, okay, that'll be good. I'm not sure what I've got going on. I don't really have anything planned. So I went with them on this road trip, and we drove out, and it was beautiful. We saw the Rocky Mountains and the Great Plains, and we were standing at one point on a pass, which is a low saddle in the Rocky Mountains, which is where the settlers back in the 1800s went over the mountains to get over to the West Coast. And we're standing up there looking out over the Rockies. It was a beautiful day, beautiful weather with my mom and dad, just a great day. And I knew that I was not where God wanted me. I knew at that moment that I was thousands of miles from where the Lord wanted me. And it felt terrible. In my heart, I said, man, I don't ever want to feel that again. And since then, I can say that I haven't ever felt that. I'm not going to say that I've always been exactly where the Lord wanted me, but I never was aware of it. Like the Apostle Paul says, my conscience is clear, but that doesn't mean I'm innocent. I'll talk about that in a future episode. That's a real insight. Paul says, my conscience is clear. Well, let's take a look at it while we're here. Yeah, so looking in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, this is the NIV. Other translations say it a little bit differently. Paul is making a defense of his apostolic standing. And starting in verse 1, let's start in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 4. So then, men ought to regard us as servants of Christ and as of those entrusted with the secret things of God. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. Now there's a good word for all of us. The Lord is entrusting things to you, perhaps great things, perhaps small things, but you must prove faithful. I must prove faithful with whatever He entrusts to me. And one of the great principles of the kingdom of God is whoever's faithful with a little will be entrusted with more. Verse 3, Paul says, I care very little if I am judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. That is really helpful. Now, to loop back to this feeling of being exactly where the Lord wants me, I've never felt that deep pain in my heart that I was not where God wanted me to be. But just because my conscience is clear doesn't mean that I'm innocent. It's the Lord who judges me. I may have missed some things. But let's be faithful with what God has given us. Let's be careful to discern His will and be faithful in what He's entrusted to us. Small things, big things. A few years ago, I was taking a boat tour in Uganda. We were on safari. And for those of you who don't know, the word safari merely means trip, to take a trip. And we were on safari, and we were out on a river. I forget the name of the river. And I was with pastors and their spouses and other ministry leaders who had come over from the Democratic Republic of Congo to Uganda for a conference. And part of this conference was we went out and took a trip, went out on safari, and we were looking at the elephants and these huge crocodiles and, you know, all the wildlife, and we're taking a boat tour. And as we pulled up to the dock, we were all getting off, and the next batch of people, tourists, were getting on. And honestly, it was a whole bunch of Westerners, I'd say Americans, but maybe Brits or Europeans, all decked out with the classic-looking safari gear, the hats and the, you know, the clothing that looks like you ought to be on safari. We were all just dressed in normal street clothes. Many of them had very, very, very expensive cameras. And it struck me that all these people getting on the boat as we were getting off, they had paid a huge amount of money to go on this trip to do this thing. Perhaps many of them or most of them had planned for years or had aspirations for years to go on safari, to be on this river, to take these pictures. And here we were on safari, on this boat, as just a natural part of our gathering together in the will of the Lord. Well, I've been to lots of places that people spend a lot of money to visit on vacation. This is a perfect example, being on the ship in Uganda, but also, my goodness, all the different places I've been. It's beautiful. It's rare, I know. But I want to encourage you to receive the life that God has for you. Don't limit God by choosing to do the things that only you can think of. The world will try to distract us. The world will bring pleasing activities to fill up our time. There's so much in the Western world about sales, and sales and marketing appeals to the selfish parts of our lives. We want to gratify ourselves. As I said, David Pawson calls marketing the manipulation of human desire. And so in order to make room for what the Lord has for us, we have to say no to a lot of that pressure that comes from the world. I just said a lot of. We have to say no to all of that pressure. God's kingdom is completely different. And He has things for you that you cannot even imagine. And yet, if we fill our time with empty things, wasteful things, selfishness, you know, we're just not going to hear. We're going to miss. We'll have a life that is a bare skeleton of a life instead of a rich and deep and full life. Well, that's what's on my heart today to share with those of you who are listening. Receive the life that God has for you and do not choose your own life for yourself. Several times in the scriptures, it says, those who wait on the Lord are never put to shame. Those who trust in the Lord. To trust in Him is to wait on Him. Trust Him. Really trust Him. Does God exist? Is He really a loving Father? Can you really trust Him? Well, do. And just in closing, I'll remind you of what the Lord said at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And I'll read from the NIV, Matthew chapter 7, starting verse 24. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. This is how the Lord ends up the Sermon on the Mount, bringing the Word of God to people. And He says, basically, it's not enough to hear it. You have to put it into practice. You have to do it. Put the words of God into practice, and you will be on a strong foundation. We all suffer what is common to human beings. In this case, the Lord says, the rain comes down, the streams rise up, the winds blow and beat against the house. Well, that's happening to the people who have built on a rock and those who have built on sand. We're going to suffer. The Lord said, in this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Have a strong heart. I've overcome the world, he says. If anything that I'm saying today touches your heart and you feel like it is a message that God has for you, if anything that I've said touches you in that way, pray and ask the Lord to give you the grace to put it into practice, to shift your foundation over onto obedience. Many, many people contact me and they're unsure about their future or they feel like their life is unstable. And one good answer for people in those circumstances is be obedient to what the Lord is giving you now. Because when you are obedient, then you'll be on a firm foundation. Obedience is the necessary part of being strong in the Lord. That's an expression of our love. That's the proof of our love and our trust for Him is that we obey Him. Of course, read through the Sermon on the Mount, all of the things the Lord says. Put them into practice. Do it. Well, let me just take a minute here. I know I said that I was going to do this in closing, but I feel like I should take a minute and see if there's anything God wants me to share specifically with those who are listening at this moment. First, I hear the term stand firm. This is something I've heard from the Lord many times. Stand firm in the Lord. Be unmoved. Stand firm. Well, a necessary part of standing firm in the Lord is that you're on a strong foundation, and that implies obedience, necessitates obedience. Let's see if there's anything else that God has for us. There are many voices in our lives. Many people who claim to be shepherds, but there is one true shepherd, and we need to listen for his voice, the good shepherd. And my encouragement to all of us is for us to put into practice discerning the voice of the Lord. At church this last Sunday, a young man came in and said to the pastor that he had a word for the church that he wanted to bring to the church. And he asked if he could stand up in the meeting and bring this message. And wisely, our pastor said, well, let's go back here and you can tell me about it. And we'll see if you can bring it to the whole church. And the young man said that there is a prophet, I've forgotten the guy's name, who is the final prophet of the end times, who is the reincarnation of Jesus, and that our church is following false gods and that we need to follow this prophet who claims to be the reincarnation of Jesus. And I'm so glad that our pastor took him back in that back room and said, no, you have no place here. You need to leave. And he told the young man to go, because that is not the message that comes to our church. That's a different gospel. It's a different Messiah. And the pastor came up and talked to me about it, and I said, well, is he still here or did he go? And so Kukuli, our pastor, went back, and sure enough, the guy was back there talking to somebody from the church, and Kukuli had to say to him, you need to head out. You need to go now. You're not welcome here, because we're not going to listen to false shepherds. We're not going to listen to other voices. Jesus himself said that there will be people who claim to be the Messiah, these false prophets and these other gospels and these false teachers that are everywhere. And we really have to start listening intently to the voice of the Lord. Okay, well, I feel like I'll wrap it up for now. Thank you for bearing with me on all that. Next time, hopefully, I'll talk about the circumstances in which the Lord said several times to people, what do you think? Which is kind of remarkable when you think about it, that the designer of the universe would ask a human being what they think about things. So until the next time, I pray that you will die to yourself, that you will lay aside self, that you will refuse to choose your own life, and that you will, with gratitude, receive the life that God has for you. Amen.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Thank you for listening, and God bless you all.